as we stand the prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, give us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity. Keep us steadfast in this faith, that we may evermore be defended from all adversities, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated, and apologies if I'm not very loud this morning, if I run out of puff. The reason is because of this. I couldn't find a foot pump for it, so I had to do it the old-fashioned way this morning. So apologies if I run out of breath. Now, why a giant beach ball? Well, this is going to be a present for my 3-year-old nephew, Ewan. Ewan is very proud of the fact that he's 3 years old. He likes to often remind you, I'm 3 years old. So that's little Ewan. He's even I can't get my arms around this. So little Ewan hasn't got a chance. So what's he going to do when I give him a present like this? Okay, what do you think? I've got 3 options that might happen. You can choose which one you think is most likely. When Ewan comes face to face with this, option 1, he can think to himself, well, that's too big for me. And you know, it's too awkward. I'm far too small to play with that. And he could go off in a huff and find a smaller toy to play with. Option 1. Option 2, he could think, well, it's too big for me now, but I know where Mummy keeps her knitting stuff. And, you know, one quick stab, and suddenly it becomes much smaller, much easier to deal with. I can fold it up, carry it around in my arms, put it in my Paw Patrol backpack, and all those sort of things. Much easier to deal with. Problem is, it's not a beach ball then, really, anymore, is it? Surely the best option is option 3. Option 3 is that Ewan just enjoys the fact that it's so much bigger than him. That's what makes it fun. It's so much bigger than me, I can't get my arms all the way around it. That's what's so good about it. Now, the reason we're doing this on Trinity Sunday is because when we come face to face with the idea of the Trinity, the Christian teaching that God is one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. God is 3 and 1 at the same time. He's not more 3 than 1, and he's not more 1 than 3. I suspect you feel like me. It's something you can't quite get your arms around. So what do we do with that? Well, option 1, we could go off in a huff and say, well, I'm going to go and find a smaller God to play with this morning. Option 2, and many people have tried doing that over the years. They think, well, this idea of the Trinity, that's too much. So let's try and make it a bit easier. Let's say, actually, God is really 1. He just looks like he's 3. Or God is really 3. It just looks like he's 1. Problem with that, both of those are doing this to the beach ball. Making it smaller, yes, and easier to carry around, easier to deal with. Problem is, you don't have a beach ball. You don't have a real God left either at the end of that. Surely the best option is option 3. We just enjoy the fact that God is so much bigger than us. Isn't that what you'd expect? So I want to give you today 3 reasons why the Trinity might hurt your head, but it will heal your heart. 3 reasons why the Trinity will heal your heart, even if it does hurt your head. And I'm going to get rid of this now because it's a bit too big to be up here. So we'll put it down there. There we go. So 3 reasons. First reason, the Trinity is the price you pay for having a God worth worshipping. The Trinity is the price you pay for having a God worth worshipping. What if you could get God into a box? What if you could sort of fold him up and put him in your Paw Patrol backpack and carry him round? If you could sort of get your arms all the way around him. If you had a God like that, how much do you think that God could help you with the things you're facing in your life? If your God was smaller than you, how much could that God do about the problems in the world around us? Would that sort of God, maybe I should say God, really be worth worshipping? See, not only is it unreasonable to think that the God who made time and space and the universe should be able to fit into our heads, without any remainder at all. Not only is that unreasonable, it's not logical to believe, it's also a frightening thing to believe, if you think about it. A God who is that much smaller and simpler than me, I can get him into my box. Could that God teach me anything of significance? What would be the point in praying to a God like that? Could that God stand up to the bullies in your life or in the world at large? Could that God make sure everything is going to end up okay, turn out okay in the end? Do you really have a God worth worshipping then? It's true, the Trinity might hurt our heads a bit, but it's what we need to heal our hearts. Put it like this. Have you ever tried giving yourself a medal? Ever tried that? Let's say I'm feeling really down one day, so I decide to go into town and I buy a big, shiny, golden medal. A big, shiny one. And I take it into Timpson's, I get them to engrave my name on it. Leon Catallo, winner, 2018. I think to myself, well, I go home, have my own little kind of presentation ceremony. I shake myself by the hand, well done, Leon, you've really succeeded. I'm really proud of you. You're a great man. And then I sing the national anthem to myself in my room. Do you think that will work? Will that make me feel better? But what if the Queen did all those things for you? What if you were invited to the Waterloo Chamber at Windsor Castle, and she put the medal over your head, and she shook you by the hand, looked you in the eyes and said, thank you, we're proud of you. You're a great man. You're a great woman. Would that make you feel better? I think it would, wouldn't it? It would. I'd remember that day for years and years afterwards if it was me. Do you see the point? The thing about medals is you can't give them to yourself. It doesn't work. And you can't really even give yourself praise or affirmation. Not really. You need someone else to give them to you. And you need someone bigger than you to give them to you if it's really going to work. And having the Queen do that for you, so much more than having any other dignitary do it for you, or just Joe Random off the streets. That's the problem with shrinking God down, okay? It might make it easier, but that sort of God, a God we've made up, cannot give you a medal. You can pray for forgiveness to a God like that, but you'll never feel forgiven because that God was made up by you, and you can't forgive yourself. Now, you could try bringing your shame and guilt to a God like that, but you never find the stain really was removed. The Trinity is a price you pay for having a God worth worshipping. It may hurt our heads, but it heals our hearts. Second reason why the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity, God will heal our hearts even if it hurts our heads. Second reason is the Trinity means that love is the heart of reality. The Trinity means that love is the heart of reality. Now, of course, the idea that God is love, is a very common idea and quite a popular idea, isn't it? Whatever you made of the sermon at the royal wedding. The Archbishop, he was very good on that, wasn't he? God is love. God is the source of love in the universe. But very few people stop to really think about the implications of that. What does it mean? How for God to not just love, not just for God to love, but for God to be love? Because when you think about it for a moment, love can only exist between people. So if God was a unipersonal God, not a tri-personal God, there could not have been love until after God had created humans or angels or something to love. There's only one person. Do you see? So unless God is Trinity, he couldn't be love. He'd have to create first. He'd have to be power. Create something else to love, and then he can love them. But the Trinity means that love came first, and power came later. Power is peripheral, not love. Put it like this. Imagine a friend comes to you, a dear friend, and they come to you in tears, asking for your advice. They're working 90-hour weeks. travelling a lot on business at the weekends. And as a result of that, their marriage is crumbling and their kids hardly know them anymore. And they come to you and they're desperate for your advice. Now, if you think, like I do, if you think that they should choose their family over their career, that relationships are more important than accruing wealth and power, if you think that, well, why do you think that? Unless you believe that God is Trinity, love, relationships are the heart of the universe, not power. Do you see, you're sort of committed to believing that. If you think, if you'd say to that person, no, actually, you should put your family over your career and wealth and power. I don't know if you have this. I have lots of conversations with people, I find, still, who do really appreciate many Christian values. They really do. They like what Christianity does in many ways to people and to societies. They appreciate the morals and the values, but they wouldn't sign up for the Christian beliefs, the doctrines, the dogmas. And what I always want to do, if I can get into a good sort of non-confrontational conversation with them, I want to try and persuade them that the two go together. Okay, like how flowers grow in soil, Christian values, morals, grow from Christian beliefs. That's the soil they grow in. You can pick flowers out of the soil, and you can put them in water, and you can enjoy them in your house. But how long are they going to last in the water? They don't grow in water, they grow in soil. Just like Christian values don't grow, they grow in Christian beliefs. Christian doctrines is what grows Christian flowers. You see, unless you believe that God is Trinity, you really have no reason, no solid reason, to believe that love is the heart of reality. And you do have every reason to believe that might and power is really the heart of reality. If there's no God, or if God is unipersonal, not tripersonal, if power came before love, if humanity's got to where it is because for millions of years the strong have eaten the weak, if that's how it is, then what's wrong with power? Might is right, surely. Why should you let anyone hold you back from achieving? Charlotte and I recently watched a TV series called Man in the High Castle. It imagines a world like that, a world where Nazi Germany had won World War II and they've occupied all of Europe and most of North America. And what you have is a regime where that is the case. Power is more important than love. Not that you shouldn't love, you're meant to love your family, just that if it comes down to it, power trumps. If there's a choice, power trumps love. So, as happens to one of the characters, he's a senior ranking officer, but he finds out that his son has a congenital nerve disease. And the law of the land is that for the greater good of society, he has to terminate his son before he can reproduce. That is eventually what grows out of believing that power is more important than love. The Trinity keeps us safe from that. It means that love is the heart of reality. So even if it hurts your head, it will heal your heart. Third and final reason. The Trinity means that God is on the give, not on the take. The Trinity means that God is on the give, not on the take. Why did God create you? Why did God create humans? Did he create us because he was lonely and he wanted someone to talk to? Or because he was needy and he wanted someone to give him worship and praise and to tell him how great he was? Did he need our worship? Did he need anything from us? Well, the doctrine of the Trinity says no. God doesn't need anything from us because he is and always has been within himself, full of love and joy and peace and contentment. And he has within himself Father, Son, and Spirit for all eternity been pouring, been giving and receiving love. There's no lack, no hole for these plugging. He didn't create you and me because there was something he needed from us. Didn't need anything from us. For all eternity, that voice, do you remember the voice in the gospel reading in verse 11? The voice Jesus heard at his baptism. You are my son. I love you. I couldn't be more pleased with you. God the Son has been hearing that from the Father for all eternity. And every member of the Trinity has. God didn't need you and me to give him anything. But if God didn't create the world because he needed anything from us, why did he create? If he was already supremely satisfied in himself, why did he want you and me? Well, not because he needed to take anything from us, but because he wanted to give to us. He wanted to overflow. Just like in a great marriage, you want to overflow to others, to children, to society. You, what you have within yourself, you want to overflow. The Trinity means that God is on the give. He's not on the take. And he made you and me, humanity, to overflow into. This is important. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought to yourself, why is there so many times in the Bible does it say, praise the Lord? If you read the Psalms, you can hardly get through a psalm without it saying, praise the Lord, or worship the Lord with gladness and joy. And you just think, well, why is God saying that? Is he ego stroking? He needs us to give him some praise and worship, or he might sort of fade away without us. Well, if God were sort of a unipersonal God, not a tri-personal God, then that would make sense. But Father, Son, and Spirit together already have everything. They have the ocean, if you like. They've already got the ocean. They don't need your and my little drop as well. So when God asks for your drop, what's he doing? Is he really trying to take from you? Or is he trying to give to you? And that when you give him your drop, you don't lose your drop. You find you get the ocean as well. God calls us to praise him and worship him and to enjoy him because that's what we're built for. That is ultimate reality, the heart of reality, to be loved and loved by our Maker. That self-giving love is at the heart of reality. It's what the universe literally revolves around. It's what made the universe. Father, Son, and Spirit, giving, moving for each other, enjoying each other for all eternity. The total absence of selfishness and self-absorption. And when God the Son came to earth, we read the beginning of Mark's Gospel in our Gospel reading, when God the Son came to earth, it wasn't a new thing that he did, self-giving love. It wasn't a new thing. That's always been the heart of reality. C.S. Lewis put it like this. He said, when he, Jesus, was crucified, he was doing, in the wild weather of his outlying provinces, what he had always been doing at home, in glory and gladness, self-giving love. And it's because Jesus heard what he did. He heard that voice from the Father saying, I love you, I'm so pleased with you, I couldn't be more proud of you. It's because he heard that voice from his Father, that love, that he could live the way he did. He could face the wild animals, Satan himself. Because he heard what he did, he could live the way he did. To be so loved by one so great, it protects you, it changes you. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to experience that love from him. I love you, I am so pleased with you, I couldn't be more proud of you. And he wanted that so much that he gave his son. Jesus willingly sacrificed himself so you could have that love from God. And with that love, you can face anything. If you heard God saying to you, if you really heard God saying that to you, what he said to Jesus, you could face anything. The Trinity means God's on the give, he's not on the take. It might hurt our heads, yes, hurts mine sometimes, quite often. but it will heal your heart. So I hope I've shown you that the Trinity is not a sort of abstracty, sort of arcane theory that, you know, sort of theologians argue about in ivory towers. It's fundamental to Christian belief. Pull that thread out, and everything else starts to unravel. Pull that out, and we start to unravel. But put it in, and it will heal your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have all come today with fears and hurts and regrets. We've cherished sin. And we might not talk about those things. We might not even fully understand those things ourselves. But we all have them. And we will never become the people we should be until we know you as you are. And so we pray again that you would give us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and that you would keep us steadfast in that faith, that we may evermore be defended from all adversities, just as your Son, our Saviour, was. We pray in his name. Amen.